Okay, Work Trends community, listen up. On an upcoming episode of Work Trends, we're going to be taking your questions about how to make your HR organization work better. Do you need advice about fixing a messy process? Need some help with hiring or talent management? Email us at editor@talentculture.com or tweet me at Megan M. Biro or Talent Culture, and you could be a featured guest on a future show. On this week's episode of Work Trends, we're talking about building a more inclusive workplace with SurveyMonkey CMO, Leela Srinivasan. Welcome to the Work Trends podcast from Talent Culture. I'm your host, Megan M. Biro. Every week, I interview interesting people and brands who are reimagining work. For more information, be sure to check us out at talentculture.com and join us live on Twitter every Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern using the hashtag WorkTrends. Today's guest is Leela Srinivasan. She is one of the smartest and kindest people you're going to meet in Silicon Valley, and she has pretty impressive chops in the world of HR tech. She's here to talk about how SurveyMonkey is building a more inclusive workplace and share advice that any leader can use. Welcome to Work Trends, Leela.
Thank you so much, Megan. It's great to be here.
So where are you today?
I am at our headquarters in San Mateo.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Welcome, welcome. So earlier this year, you became Chief Marketing Officer at SurveyMonkey. Why did you want to work there and what attracted you?
Wow, that's a great question, particularly because I loved my prior role as CMO at Lever, and I wasn't actually looking to leave the organization, but there were just too many reasons, I think, to say yes to SurveyMonkey. So the first was that I was very drawn to SurveyMonkey's mission. Our mission is to power the curious. And I just love what that stands for and the value that we provide to our users. I think I've always considered myself curious. And even when I'm hiring talent today, I keep an eye out for intellectual curiosity in my candidates, because I really think that curious people push for the best solutions. They push for innovation. And so overall, this notion of powering the curious was just very inspiring to me. And I genuinely feel honored to help drive that mission. So that was sort of the first thing. And then, you know, secondly, I've been using SurveyMonkey in some shape or form for years, but it was only when I started engaging with the organization about this role that my eyes were really opened to how SurveyMonkey today helps businesses win. So we've grown up, you know, we're a 19-year-old company. We've grown up as a self-serve, easy-to-use tool that's used by 15 million active users around the world. But I didn't realize until I started talking with SurveyMonkey how enterprises and larger companies are now starting to tap into the power of our platform and some purpose-built solutions that we have. And it turns out, actually, that HR is one of our top use cases. And I've become an HR tech junkie over the years. And so it was definitely attractive to me to be part of the team that would be bringing this expanded suite of solutions to market. The third thing is that I was really drawn to the idea of having what I would call the meta job. And when I think about my time at LinkedIn and Lever, so over the last most of the last 8 years, I've been a marketer in HR technology. And so that has involved me celebrating and elevating the work of talent acquisition leaders and their teams. And, you know, at those companies, the head of recruiting would be the person who held the meta job. In other words, they were the main beneficiary of the products and solutions that the company was building. And that put them in a position to really shape the roadmap and beta test new offerings and generally be at the cutting edge of their profession. And so at SurveyMonkey, marketing is one of the main meta jobs, because there's so much of the value in our solutions portfolio that is geared toward helping marketers measure, benchmark, and act on the opinions of customers and the outside world. So it's just really exciting to be in that meta job role and be part of an organization that's driving a lot of value to the marketing profession. And then the last thing I will mention is it was really important to me to join a diverse workplace where inclusion matters. And I promise you, I'm not saying that simply because of this podcast. I think I've been really privileged over the last several years to work at organizations that celebrate and actually really demand diversity, inclusion, and belonging as they continue to evolve. And that's left me really inspired and committed to making sure I try and grow every team and business I touch with D&I in mind. And so in my conversations with SurveyMonkey, it was really clear that there was a ton of alignment around the fundamental importance of building an organization that incorporates D&I into its DNA. So, you know, it's become that important to me. me as I've gone through my career. And it's hard for me to imagine today going to an organization that doesn't have that level of focus and importance on D&I.
I hope you're listening out there, community, to what she's saying, because what I'm hearing is that you were feeling something about SurveyMonkey. It was something that went beyond what was something like a feel good. It was you knew there was some sort of a moment where you said, this is it. Tell us more about this culture at SurveyMonkey, because to me, there's nothing more exciting than something you can feel.
Yeah, absolutely. So I credit a lot of our culture today to our chief people officer, Becky Cantieri. She's been here for, I think, 6.5 years now. And, you know, I think she has really, she, along with Xander Lurie, our CEO, and really the entire executive team, have made it a point to really focus on diversity and inclusion as we have expanded. And so our view is that a happy and healthy culture begins and ends with everybody feeling like they are in a place where they can do their best work, where they can thrive, where they have every opportunity to succeed regardless of who they are. And, you know, we're really seeing, I think we actually feel that when you put that emphasis on diverse and inclusive employee experience, it also sort of bleeds into what we offer to customers and the way that we interact with our customers. It helps us reflect the very diverse set of customers that we serve. And so, and I think that, you know, if you look at the research from the likes of McKinsey, it's fairly well documented that diverse teams do outperform teams that have more of a monoculture to them. And so there's business benefit. It feels like it's the right thing to do. And so we have prioritized it at SurveyMonkey. Our culture centers around this employee value proposition of SurveyMonkey being a place where the curious come to grow. So if our mission is to power the curious, SurveyMonkey is where the curious come to grow. And so, you know, I think when we have curiosity as such a linchpin in our culture and our mission, it really is incumbent on us to think about how can we really deliver on that promise to employees through thinking about learning opportunities, thinking about ways to help them progress and grow together. And again, if you have a culture of inclusion at the core of that, then that gives everyone equal opportunities to tap into those opportunities to grow.
How do you listen and understand employees there at SurveyMonkey? Give us some examples of how that is playing out in everyday life.
So unsurprisingly, perhaps, we do eat in our own restaurant and leverage our own tools. So that's a combination of different things. We do have a survey tool called Engage, which is really geared toward measuring employee engagement and creating more of a dialogue between employees and the organization to better understand how they're thinking, how they're feeling, where they are feeling like they are more connected to the organization, where there are opportunities to improve their engagement. And so through SurveyMonkey Engage, we send out periodic surveys. And the beauty of the tool is that we keep the surveys quite short and easy to access on mobile devices. And so we are on an ongoing basis tapping into our employee base to better understand how they're thinking and feeling about the world, where there are opportunities to improve, things that are resonating. And within those sets of questions, we do embed questions that get at this idea of, do you feel like you belong and that you're being given your opportunities? So that's an ongoing steady drumbeat that happens throughout the year. In addition to that, we also, again, eating in our own restaurant, take advantage of an inclusion template that we recently brought to market with Paradigm, which is one of the preeminent firms in diversity and inclusion consulting. And this is a survey that we launched last year to better understand how we were progressing on the D&I dimension specifically. So I think those are the two more formal ways, but what's been really interesting to me coming to SurveyMonkey is we are not shy about surveying. I feel like every 5 minutes there's a survey, and it's just a great way to, again, just tap into your employees' opinions. And if we, you know, commit to making sure that as we're asking those questions, we're doing that with an eye towards making sure that we are asking about diversity, inclusion, belonging, and things that really we hold true, then that helps us to continue improving on that dimension.
I'm curious to learn a little bit more about your employee resource groups. That sounds really interesting. Tell us more about the nuts and bolts of how this all happens.
Yeah, so going back in the history, and this precedes my time at SurveyMonkey, of course, I believe originally, as we thought about diversity and inclusion, we formed a committee and invited people who were interested in diversity and inclusion to join the committee. And perhaps it's based on the types of people that we hire. We were inundated. So there were so many people that wanted to play a part in diversity and inclusion. And so after a while, even with the best of intentions, of course, you get to a point where there are too many cooks in the kitchen. And so the team took a look at the structure and decided to go in a slightly different direction. So today, part of what we offer are we have 4 employee resource groups, which are designed to provide support and inspiration to different populations within SurveyMonkey who are underrepresented minorities. So we have our Latinos group, which was founded to support our Black and Latin employees. We have our LGBTQ+ group. And then we also have our Women in the Workplace group and a separate group for Women Who Tech, which is really to further the careers of self-identified female engineers. So those are 4 ERGs that are in existence. But we do feel very strongly that it's everyone's responsibility at SurveyMonkey to make this a diverse and inclusive workforce. It might sound a little bit cliche, but we do think that teamwork makes the dream work, basically. Mm-hmm. And the idea is to really engage the entire organization so that we integrate D&I concepts into our everyday life. It's not just an HR program, in other words. So because of that, we don't just leave it to these ERGs. We also have 4 different office committees in San Mateo, which is our headquarters, in Portland, in Ottawa, and also over in Dublin. And the idea is to make sure that we, on a local level, celebrate important and culturally significant events. So, for instance, Pride Month is something that we celebrate globally across all of our offices. We also leverage ongoing programs like our regular Goldie Speaker Series, which was named for our late CEO, Dave Goldberg. And these are a series of regular fireside chats that take place with a wide range of leaders. And that mm-hmm. often gives us the opportunity to discuss diversity and inclusion issues as a team and hear from some truly inspiring people who are blazing a trail.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And it's all about putting it into action. That's what I love so much about this story. We're not just talking about, something that's pie in the sky or we want to get there. We're a quote unquote aspirational culture. This is actually happening. This is programmatic. So I find that to be really interesting and exciting. One thing I really admire about SurveyMonkey is how you're helping other organizations use the exact same model. Tell us a little bit more about the belonging and inclusion template that you've discovered and are implementing.
Yeah, we're really excited about this one, Megan. And I think that's partly because when you talk about diversity and inclusion, people are certainly making an attempt to measure the diversity of their workforce, to dig deeper into the recruiting practices, to better understand the demographics of their candidate base. But when you start talking about inclusion, it still feels like a bit of a squishy topic.
Yeah.
And I think that leaves people wondering how can they actually measure it? And so what we did was we did some research to understand the drivers of inclusion. And we came up with 3 separate drivers that we, along with Paradigm and some very smart folks at Stanford University, believe are really fundamental to building an inclusive workforce. So the first of those 3 drivers is a growth mindset. And that's having the belief that people, whoever they are, can evolve and learn, and that your talent isn't necessarily fixed. So the converse of a growth mindset is if you believe in a fixed mindset, and that's where you think people are either talented or they're not, and it creates what we would call a culture of genius. And so, it's that if you have that in your organization, this culture of genius, it gets in the way of true inclusion because it builds a place where not everybody feels like they can learn, grow, have the best opportunities and so forth. So that was the first thing that we found as a key driver of inclusion. The second thing was creating a culture of belonging. And when we were building up this template and we tested it very rigorously, we surveyed 10,000 or so people as part of making sure that the methodology held true. When we ran this survey, 25% of workers told us that they feel like they don't belong at their organization. And that jumps to nearly a third for Black workers. So yeah. Clearly, this is what, when we talk about inclusion, we need to be creating that culture where truly everyone belongs. And right. If you haven't succeeded in doing that, then that's going to run counterculture counter to your efforts to build that inclusive culture. And then the third driver that we found in our research was objectivity and, you know, the perception that people can advance based on fair and transparent criteria. So compensation is a great example of where this comes into play. And so again, through this survey, we found that 60% of employees believe that their compensation is fair. So slightly better than half, you know, with room to grow, but at least in the positive. When we looked at the data and sliced it by ethnicity, then we found that half of Black employees, less than half, in fact, of Black employees agreed that compensation was fair. And, you know, in August, we just celebrated Black Women's Equal Pay Day. It's taken an extra 7+ months for Black women to earn the same as their white male counterparts. So clearly, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, right?
Yeah. And
so yeah. You know, if you don't have that objectivity in your workplace, then it is definitely going to be an obstacle to creating an inclusive workforce. So those were the three drivers. And it's very clear from the stats and the survey and from, I think, what we all know to be true if we look around society, that we really do have our work cut out in building truly inclusive cultures. And so based on all of this research, we partnered with Paradigm and with Stanford to publish a free template that companies can access and deploy in their own organizations to find out, to measure how inclusive, their workplaces are based on these drivers.
Where do we find this freebie? Because this is super cool.
I'm told that it will be in the show notes for the episode on your website.
Fantastic. We know it's going to be at surveymonkey.com, and we will share for those of you in the audience who want to use this with you so you can do so yourself, because the strength of anything is actually in using and deploying. So we're here to give out some freebies today. Thank you for those of you in the Work Trends community who are listening in. We want to hear from you. Share your thoughts. So why do you think it's important to take a data-driven approach to D&I right now?
Well, bear in mind, you are asking a former management consultant, business school graduate, marketer.
Right.
So
I know, I'm like, is everyone sitting down and do you have your seatbelts on? Those are the only questions I have for you today.
You know, in all seriousness, I think it's known that you can't really manage what you're not measuring. And for all the talk, and I do believe, you know, I'm an optimist, Megan. I do believe that people really are focusing much more on diversity and inclusion than they ever have in the workforce. But if you start measuring, then you really instill the kind of accountability that we need. And I think you also, when you have results from measurement, it sparks a much more productive and specific dialogue about how you can improve. So, you know, I think those are truisms. And then the other thing is, once you start measuring, that gives you a baseline and it, you know, allows you to improve over time. And it really improves, you know, and underscores your commitment to something that I think we all know to be true. So definitely, you know, now that we're working with Paradigm to make it easy for you to start measuring, I would love to see more companies embracing this idea of measuring inclusion.
And we really can't manage what we can't measure, right? And I'm learning this myself in my own career. Look at the data, get factual. Yes, you can lead with your heart. I want everyone to remember that, but you got to look at the numbers. They don't lie.
That's right.
They just don't.
It's like marketing. You need art and science. And
you,
I think,
really do.
Yeah, that's true in management as well.
Okay. So a lot of people listening have probably heard the news about how SurveyMonkey works with contractors. Tell us a little bit more about the news and why this is so important.
What makes this one, I think, most exciting, Megan, is that it came from listening to our own employees. So, you know, we've really instilled this idea of relentless self-improvement and listening, measuring, benchmarking, and acting on the opinions of our own employees. So, you know, for starters, we have a great set of workplace policies and benefits. We have very generous parental leave, bereavement leave, and so forth. But when we asked our employees in one of our surveys, you know, what more could we be doing? This issue of offering employee benefits to our contractors came up. So we actually had employees saying, you know, benefits are great, but what about our extended team members? You know, they're just as deserving. The people that we run into in the kitchen, the people that are, you know, taking care of us from just our facilities, we want to take care of them too. So I thought, first of all, it was actually a first for me to be in an organization where the organization surveyed on benefits, which from a stepping back to think about it is crazy because companies spend millions of dollars every year on benefits. And so what a concept to actually ask your employees what they value and what they're looking for. And
yeah, then really. I mean, let's just take a moment on that, everybody. Ask the question, why do we overthink this? Seriously.
Yeah, it's not like the executive team sits in their ivory conference room and knows all the answers, right? There's nothing wrong with, and in fact, there's everything right with asking your employees. And so that's what we did. And again, as a result of this, employees came forward and said, you know, we really want to think about our extended team members. And so in April, we announced that we were unveiling a new set of standards to ensure that our contract workers and employees that we work with through third-party services receive better health benefits. They have better time off policies. We subsidize their transportation. And that's because we want to make sure that our extended team members actually share in the great benefits that we offer to our full-time employees. And you know, it's great. I mean, the chefs in our kitchen, the people who keep our office really clean, our contractors who shoulder the load when we're getting really busy, they're not on our payroll, but they are such a key part of our culture. And they really are an extended member of the team. And so I'm really proud that the organization went in this direction, because obviously, you know, there's a financial implication of taking those measures. It costs us money to do that, but we think it's the right thing to do. And it really, again, underscores our commitment to making this a great place to work where everyone can belong.
Well, and I mean, let's get real. If you look at the future of work, what percentage of people are going to become freelancers?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the numbers, when we talk about data, they're there. I mean, this is where it's the shift. Literally, that's happening. And I think it's so wise and smart that you're not only saying this is important, but let's do this not now, but yesterday, you know, because I think we're so often stuck in this place of we know it's the right thing to do, but who's really doing anything about it?
That's right. It takes some bold thinking. And again, this can be inspired by your own people.
Absolutely. So I'm wondering two things, actually. Number one, you have the coolest accent. I have to know, where did you get this from? Like, how did that become part of your brand? Because I'm like, it's so cool. I just have to know.
Well, we should have got this out of the way in the beginning, because I sometimes forget that I still have an accent, but I grew up in Scotland and I've been here for just over 20 years now. So the accent has dissipated quite a bit, but sometimes when I get excited or have a glass of wine, it comes out more strongly.
Love it. And it's obvious you're the CMO at SurveyMonkey, like we talked about earlier. Tell us why this is important for you in your role as CMO right now.
So I'll give you an answer on a personal level, and then I'll give you an answer on sort of an organization-wide what's good for marketing at SurveyMonkey. On a personal level, people want to feel good about the places they work and the organizations they do business with, and I am no exception. So it's important for me personally to work somewhere that I feel is really walking the talk and trying to build the most diverse and inclusive organization possible, the best culture that we possibly can. So I'm just like any other human, basically. This is important to me. And then, you know, operating on this at the C level, I'm so fortunate to have the opportunity to learn from our board of directors. And today, our board is 50-50 gender balanced, which is exceptional.
That's really impressive, by the way.
I know. And also, Megan, it's not just any women. You know, we're talking about Sheryl Sandberg, Sue Decker, Dana Evan, this lady by the name of Serena Williams.
Yeah.
And we also Big just...
Stuff.
Yeah, we also just had the privilege of adding Dean Erica James from Emory's Business School to our board. So it's really inspiring for me to have the opportunity to learn from such smart, diverse women and men. And again, just thinking about many, many reasons to come to SurveyMonkey, that was also, of course, in the mix. So, you know, so personally, it matters to me. But aside from that, if I put on my CMO responsible for marketing at the organization hat, as I said earlier, organizations also care about who they're doing business with. And, you know, this I think renders in a couple of ways. So our customer base is incredibly diverse across industries, across geographies, across, you know, what they're trying to accomplish. And our policies, our practices, our workforce really needs to reflect that. If I think about how we continue to innovate as an organization, if we have 20 people around the table brainstorming and they are not diverse, it's just a fact that the range of ideas we get from that brainstorming session are going to be more limited. You know, it's just really important that we get different voices into the mix with different perspectives. And that enables us to make sure that as we are thinking about product development, organizational development, even messaging and campaigns, that we're doing so through the lens of our customers. So frankly, it helps us perform better as a marketing organization and as a company if we have diverse voices helping to drive innovation and what's next for SurveyMonkey. And then, you know, I think about the example we talked about with vendor benefits, we shared that news, of course, with the outside world. We were just really excited about moving in that direction. And we had customers tweet back at us and talk about how important it was to them and how impressed mm-hmm. they were. And so again, you know, I think it's not only good business practice, it's the way that the world is moving. It's, I think, really important to show up in a way that inspires and gives confidence to your customers that you're the kind of organization that they want to work with.
Again, actions. Actions mm-hmm. still speak so much louder than words, and you can't fake it. You just can't. You're either asking good questions and doing it and doing that business of making that a reality for people, employees, customers, everybody in your community. So I think that's really very, very important. So tell me, let's take out our crystal balls. What do you hope to see in the next 5 to 10 years, like in general? And mm-hmm. this can be around talent or culture.
Wow. That's a big question, Megan. So, you know, between LinkedIn, Lever, now being at SurveyMonkey, and we do have that growing focus on HR, I've been around the talent space for 8-9 years now. And the good news is the conversation around diversity and inclusion specifically is continuing to amplify. We're in a, certainly here in the Valley, and I know in many other markets, we're in a very competitive market for talent. And so when I think back to, oh gosh, if I go back 8 or 9 years, I was one of the co-founders of Talent Connect, LinkedIn's big conference. And I remember in that first session that we did in November 2010, we slotted in a D&I panel, really because we felt we had to. We thought, you know, well, we should probably do something like this. And flash forward to now, and it's you know, when I ran Lever's Talent Innovation Summit last year, we spent a half day dedicated to diversity and inclusion. You know, the good news is it's already so much more on the radar of organizations, and it's become such an essential topic. So I'm really heartened by that. And I think organizations are starting to be more open, more transparent about the work that they're doing around diversity and inclusion. And, you know, it's continuing to gather momentum. So I would project over the next 5 years or so, 5 to 10 years, we're going to see the continuation of that. And more companies and people opening up, being transparent about what's working and what's not. So this bias for action fueled by company and individual curiosity, I think is really important. We're all basically learning as we go. This stuff is hard. Otherwise, it wouldn't be such a topic of conversation. It is hard. And there is no silver bullet. But I think it's really important to continue talking about the lessons learned. And so I do firmly believe that in the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to see, if anything, an acceleration of conversation around diversity, inclusion, belonging, measurement, action, and what's working. And that is very exciting to me.
I think organizations, I think employees are starting to become more and more transparent. And this is only the beginning. So thank you so much for stopping by today and sharing your wisdom with us.
It's been a pleasure, Megan. Anytime.
Thanks for listening to Work Trends from Talent Culture. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And I'd be really grateful if you took a moment to leave a rating and review on iTunes. It helps other people find our show. If you know someone who would enjoy listening, please share it with them. You can learn more about the future of work at talentculture.com.